It's Lewis Crathan here for Inside the World of Duotone. It's great to have you back. On this episode, we're going to be talking to team rider Lasse Walker, who recently made history in Cape Town, jumping over his teammate and Red Bull Air Race pilot Lucas Capilla. We caught up with Lasse to see how he pulled off this world first. Hey Lasse, welcome. So tell us, how long has this been in the works and how does an idea like this really come to life?
To start all the way from the beginning to answer that question is that in 2021, I got asked by Red Bull to do an in-flight interview together with Luke. And that's basically where Luke takes somebody, and in this case me, on a really wild ride in his aerobatic airplane and does all the crazy flips and spins and stunts and upside down and flies basically as crazy as you could ever imagine. And then whilst doing so, asking me a lot of questions about kiting, about my personal life, how I got into kiting, just a whole bunch of things, which was really fun. And we definitely had a good connection from the start, and Luke showed me incredibly well how good he was a precision flyer, because he's also a commercial airline pilot and he is a Red Bull pilot and an athlete, obviously. And during this flight, I had to answer these questions whilst he was doing all these incredible crazy flips and spins and everything. So that was really cool. And a couple months after that, we stayed in touch through Instagram and followed each other to stay a little bit updated on each other's project, which is really fun to watch. And then Luke told me at some point that he has a slow airplane that could fly really slow. And that was for another project idea that we're not really working on, but that's still something we're in the secret books right now. But that kind of got me thinking. And then a while later, when I was flying back from Bonaire, I believe, in the airplane, they said we're facing a very strong headwind, so the flight is going to take a little bit longer. And that idea actually got me thinking how slow his plane could fly and if it would be possible for him to fly straight into the wind and for me to jump over him. Kind of had to sort of cheat code, as we kind of call it, to get the perfect timing to do so, because with a fast plane, it's not possible, definitely not in a safe manner. So this was this idea came to life 3 years ago already, and that's when we first had the idea, and Luke and I stayed in touch and we talked through Instagram and WhatsApp about if it would be possible. From there, we went on to Red Bull with the idea to kind of pitch it. And they were obviously very, very curious and excited about the idea. And I believe 2.5 years ago, or a little bit over 2.5 years ago, we had the first Zoom call with the whole team that we had. And that consists of Luke as the pilot, me as the kite surfer, some people from Red Bull, like our athlete managers, and people that care about the content, people that work on all the aviation projects, people that work on the water sports project. So it was a big team. And besides that, we also had some people on our team that work a lot in special projects like this, because it's, if you see the amount of details that come into this whole idea and project, from the permits to the insurances to the ideas and the communications and everything. So we had somebody on our team that does a lot of these special projects for Red Bull, and he basically thinks in problems, which was a little bit depressing in the beginning, but later on we found out that he's incredibly wise and has a lot of experience that definitely helped us a lot on the day. So it's been in the books for a long time. First of all, we wanted to do it in the Netherlands, in my home country, but then we were really far into the permit process and we were really close to doing it, and the airplane was there, we did the data, we did the testing, and everything was basically ready to go, but then we stumbled upon some problems that made it not feasible to do it in the Netherlands. And from there on, we looked to do it somewhere else, and that was going to be Cape Town. And the hardest thing to do it here in Cape Town is that it is a very special airplane, and it's a very slow airplane, so there's not many in the world. It's a carbon cup, so it's made out of carbon, so it's it's quite a yeah. It's an expensive machine. It's very detailed machinery, obviously. And Luke always normally does his projects with his own planes, just because he's familiar with it. It's his plane. It's got all the branding on there and everything. So to get that specific airplane here in Cape Town was the biggest struggle, because to fly his all the way from Poland, where Luke is from, to here in South Africa is not just a very long journey, but it's also a journey over the whole continent of Africa, which, pretty empty for most of it, and didn't seem like the smartest idea. But luckily, we got our hands on another airplane that came from Port Elizabeth. Tweaked it fully to Lucas' liking. He did some test flights. They put the branding on the plane. Basically, made it as close of a copy to his own personal plane that he uses.
Wow, that's quite some planning that's gone into this for many years. Can you tell us what other sorts of challenges you came across? And did the plan stay similar throughout, or did things have to evolve?
The biggest challenges of actually doing this, I think, from the start, was that I was in touch with Luke about doing this jump and jumping over his airplane. And we pitched the idea to Red Bull, and to go from having this idea of where Luke and I both said, yeah, we can do this. Luke said, I can fly low very good. And I said, I can jump high very good. But to then prove everybody that we are actually, I'm not just saying it, but we, and not just feeling it, because I think a lot of professional athletes know what they're talking about, and they can, sort of have a feeling towards if something is possible or not. So we both had really had that feeling, and we're 100% convinced we were going to do it. But to go from there and convince the team and convince everybody at Red Bull and everybody at the insurances with the permits, because it's a big project and a lot of money going into it, obviously, and also our safety is a top priority in there. But the biggest challenge for us, I think, was going from this idea to really figuring out the details and the exact planning of what's going to happen and what are the chances of everything that was going to go as we thought it was going to go and as we planned, and what were potential surprises, and if I would miss my takeoff, what was I going to do to not crash into Luke. So the biggest challenge was definitely going from having this idea to getting the data and convincing and proving that we are capable of doing this jump together, in whilst being in a very high percentage of control. The biggest challenge for sure was going from having this idea to actually putting everything in writing, having a plan how things were going to go, and backing all of that up with enough data to do so. Having that said, the project didn't really evolve from our initial idea. This is kind of how we executed it. Was perfectly in line with how we planned it to go. But as time went on, the team and the project did get bigger and bigger and bigger. Also, to go to Cape Town, we had to fly in a lot of people to make sure everything went well. We're with a very targeted and professional team, so everybody has to be on site and has to be there to make it go exactly as how we wanted it to go.
And why did you choose Cape Town? Was it down to the conditions, or perhaps something else?
We chose Cape Town as the spot to do this because of the amazing conditions we have here. So there's often a lot of wind, and there's good waves, good kickers. And besides that, if it's a good or a bad thing, you're still in South Africa, in Africa, where the rules and regulations are a little bit less tight than they are in Europe, and especially in the Netherlands. Since we also tried to do this project in the Netherlands in the first place last year, we were working on it. We had everything there. Lucas' plane was there. We all had our calendars blocked. We were all pretty much in the Netherlands to do so. But then, last minute, we had some very small issues with the permit, in which it was, it was a very small detail that Luke wasn't allowed to fly as we wanted him to fly, because one of the things that was in our minds was that if Luke could fly lower, then the project would be safer because there would be more distance between me and Luke. But obviously, in the aviation world, the lower you fly, the riskier it is. So those two things were very tricky, and that was one of the hardest parts in the whole permit process to get everything working and get everything clear. And unfortunately, in the Netherlands, we couldn't get that to work. And it's not that we gave up, but we decided that we would focus on doing it in a different location, and that turned out to be Cape Town. And the biggest challenge was, like I said, to get the airplane here, because we're far away and Lucas' airplane is in Poland, and to fly all the way from Poland to South Africa covers, yeah, pretty much all of Europe and the whole continent of Africa, which isn't, yeah, it's kind of empty, you know. It's probably not the nicest place to fly all the way down Africa, especially when you're in the small and slow airplane.
So working in coordination together with Red Bull pilot Lucas Tupila must have been pretty intense. How do you prepare for this? Were there a lot of rehearsals and test runs? I mean, can you even go for a test run with something like this?
Well, first of all, one of the nice things to work with Luke on this project is that he's a really nice guy. You know, he's very confident, he's smart, he's calm, got a sense of humor, which is nice. And also that I did the flight with him in his aerobatic airplane definitely showed me that he's extremely capable. And he also landed his airplane on the helipad on the Burj Al Arab in Dubai, which is the famous 7-star hotel. And yeah, all those things together just proved 100% that he's as good of as a pilot that you could wish for a project like this. Because he's got the experience, he's got the good way of thinking, he's got an amazing way of communicating. And doing those projects definitely shows that he can perform under pressure and communicates really well. So I couldn't have asked for a better pilot to do this project with. Yeah, he's incredible. He works really well together with Red Bull Poland. People from Red Bull Poland are super nice. I'm obviously in contact with Red Bull Netherlands, and the way everything worked together, was extremely nice. And how do we prepare for this is kind of we didn't prepare for it together. We did a test run in the Netherlands where Luke was allowed to fly 30 feet, which is already low, but he wasn't allowed to go any lower than that. And I was kiting in those same conditions, but it wasn't windy enough. It was about 25 knots. But that's kind of the best rehearsal we had, where Luke and I could be in communication with each other. He could see me kite, and I could see him fly and see how steady he goes over the ocean and strong winds. So that's kind of the only rehearsal we had. Besides that, he had a lot of practice from his Dubai project where he landed on the helipad, because he had to fly not yeah as slow as he possibly could, and it's already a slow airplane, and he could slow down to an airspeed of 30 knots, and have that quite well under control. But due to kiting over the ocean, the wind is a little bit gustier, and he said from the start he need to have an airspeed of about 35 knots. So if something were to happen, like a little wind gust or a little hole in the wind, he could still have a little bit of margin before he would literally, yeah, plunge into the ocean. So not many rehearsals, but definitely with the whole team we had and all the planning and with we didn't have much rehearsal at all. On the day itself, Luke did a few test runs where he flew into our flight box and basically flew straight into the wind. And he did the first one on quite a high speed. He did the second one a little bit slower, third one slower, and the fourth one he was going, yeah, pretty much ground speed zero. He could fly extremely slow. And from there on, I did a test run next to him to jump next to him, not exactly over him, just to show that my jumps were high enough and kind of have that last kind of measurement and confirmation. And from there on, we started going from the for the real attempt. So we didn't need much of rehearsal besides that. Also for, yeah, the since we had the idea and since way before, you know, I've been doing a lot of kite loops and mega loops in pretty much every session, and I've been riding with the Woo to track my height and distance and make sure I go high enough consistently. So besides the real rehearsal as a team on the water, I've been practicing and having this in the back of my head for years, and especially the last year, I've been taking it kind of safely and easy to not get injured and be 100% fit for the project.
So working in coordination together with Red Bull pilot Lucas Tupila must have been pretty intense. How do you prepare for this? Were there a lot of rehearsals and test runs? I mean, can you even go for a test run with something like this?
So regarding the timing and the coordination between Luke and I, couldn't have gone any better. We had a lot of different systems on how Luke and I could be in direct communication with each other. So there were multiple options in that case. There's products like the BB Talking, where some kite schools use, and they can stay in touch with their teacher, and you could say something. But if you go over 150 meters apart, you'd lose connection, which for us would obviously not be a good thing, because Luke could easily fly 500 meters far, and then we'd lose connection. So that wasn't a good option. We even had some military-grade communication systems that all worked very seamlessly. But in the end, we actually had we could even just have radios, but the disadvantage of radios is that you'd need to push a button to actually say something. And if I would press the button to say, okay, let's go, and Luke would press the button to say, let's not do it, then something would go wrong. We wouldn't hear each other. Then there was another system that we tried, which is called the Riddle, and that's what they use on the boats, like on the CLGP and the America's Cup, I believe, where there's basically a whole box where you have good connection and an open line with each other. But in the end, we actually had some really high tech earplugs with a microphone and connected it to my iPhone and went on a WhatsApp call, which worked perfectly. Luke and I were on a really good connection, so we could easily talk to each other with no delay. It really worked amazing. And from there on, because we were able to talk with each other so well, Luke could kind of spot from his plane from a little bit up higher if there was a set coming with waves, and he could kind of line up with the waves and come towards the sweet spot in the flight box that we had. And there, it will be my job to time it and meet up perfectly in line to jump over Luke. So the timing and the communication was absolutely crucial, but it all worked really well.
And how many attempts did it take for you to nail it?
I lost track, actually, not that many. I think it was five or seven attempts, of which the last one was the very best one. That's the one where I could literally see Luke sitting in his cockpit from straight above, and Luke could follow me right over his cockpit because it's kind of see-through transparent glass on the top. So that was for me 100% the very best jump, going straight over him. After that, it would have been the very first jump that I did, because it lined up really good, but I kind of went over the side of the plane, kind of over the wing. So we did that one on, and after that, everybody on the beach was like, oh yeah, we got it, the first attempt, we got it, let's go. But I came to the beach and I said, sorry guys, it was close, but it wasn't perfect yet. And from there on, I think there were about five attempts, of which most of them were real kite loops, and there was one jump where I just fully bailed on it. I kind of did the jump and jumped towards the left to jump away from Luke. And there was one where he was lining up with the perfect kicker, but out of nowhere the kicker just disappeared. So Luke and I were in touch, talking to each other. I was going towards kind of the meeting point where I wanted to take off right before him, and there was a wave, but randomly it was fully gone, on which I could turn around and line up to go for another attempt.
So tell me, what equipment did you use and how were the wind conditions? Were there any other technical details that helped make this jump possible?
Having been working on this project for such a long time already, the whole idea kind of basically came to life when we launched the Evo D Lab, which was, especially in lighter winds, was such an and still is such an incredible kite. And the Alula definitely gives more performance to the whole kite, like I said, especially in the lighter wind range, to jump high and far enough and have the perfect control that I wanted. And then now in the last year, we released a Rebel D-Lab, which to me is, I still cannot think believe how good that kite is. Like how easy it is to consistently jump high, how fast it is, how good the hang time is, how good the lift is, the travel, the control, just everything in that kite that worked perfectly, especially in the 30 knots that we were working with. Even if I still look at it now, the Rebel D-Lab 9 meter on 22 meter lines is and yeah, the perfect big air kite. It's even hard to put it into words. And often when I jump and I record with my GoPro, I just hear myself laughing on as if it's like the perfect gust and the perfect kicker and everything coming together. So the 9 meter Rebel D-Lab on 22 meter lines, with the Team Series big air board, is the perfect combination, and it was easy to jump high and far enough. And if you have a like a decent skill to jump, like the it's a fast kite, so it's definitely not a beginner's jumping kite. But if you're in for good performance, good handling, nice and fast, an incredible good feeling kite with a lot of information in the bar, then yeah, 100% sure the Rebel D-Lab would be the best kite in the whole world to basically do this right now. So extremely happy on that.
I'm interested in knowing about the weather on the day and the wind. We all know that it can be something hard to plan, but did you get lucky? Did you arrive and it was just absolutely perfect, or did you have to wait around all day?
Yeah, so the weather is very well predictable in Cape Town, that when the wind with the southeaster is blowing, it's like a machine and it just works. Right now we had a special wind specialist that gave us a better detailed forecast. So besides looking on Windfinder, WindGuru, wind meters, Windy, all those things, we had somebody that can actually read all the charts himself, and he could say, like, yeah, the forecast on WindGuru says 30, but I think it's going to be a little bit more because this is happening there and it's happening there. There's going to be some clouds, which is going to be good or bad. So we had a very good and detailed wind forecaster, which was really nice. And also because we had a small sweet spot to make this project work. Obviously we needed enough wind for me to jump high enough, which we aimed for around 30 knots. Besides that, we also needed the wind to have Luke fly slow enough. So if it was only 20 knots, then Luke's ground speed would be too high and the timing would be too hard. So we needed that wind for both of us. Then again, if the wind was too strong, it would all get exponentially harder. So the wind would get gustier. It would get very unstable for Luke, who is already kind of hitting his head around the whole cockpit because he's getting shaken up and down by the turbulence so much. And besides that, the plane is so light that already now he had multiple guys holding on to the wings on the runway, because if people would not hold on to the plane, it would just blow over or fly away. That's how light the plane is. I believe the plane is 400 kilos with a wingspan of 10 meters. So, and also the wings are not made of steel or carbon or something. It's the wing kind of has a frame, and around this frame is kind of like a vinyl plastic kind of sheet, and that's the wing. So it's not even a hard surface. Like if you can poke through it with a fork or a knife or even my fingers, you can dent the material of the wing. So that's how light the plane is. And because of the how light the plane is, yeah, the weather window we had is kind of small, but at the same time, the conditions that we needed for this project are very familiar in Cape Town. So 30 knots, you'd see that pretty much every week, once or twice, with nice kickers coming in, and that's exactly what we needed.
Obviously, this was an extremely high-stakes project. What were the safety measures in place for you and the pilot? Did you experience any moments of doubt or fear? How did you overcome that?
Obviously, jumping over a plane is extremely high risk, but at the same time, Luke and I definitely proved all our points and our skill and abilities, that we were, 100% confident in things going safe and the way we wanted to. And even if something were to happen, there were sort of protocols in place, like if I would jump and I would for some reason go towards the plane, we would both go left. So I would fly out, go further onto the ocean. Luke would fly back towards the beach, and we'd avoid each other. So there were a lot of safety measures, but above all, there were a lot of protocols that if this would happen, this is how we would avoid each other. And if I would hit the wing, there would be free divers in the water. We had two or three free divers that were on one boat. There was another jet ski. There was another boat with more safety people and camera people on there. There was another boat that we kind of used as a buoy to kind of keep the other kiters away. And then three of my friends were on the water to try and keep all the kiters out of our flight box, to keep things as safe as possible, and give us the room and opportunity to go for the attempts as we wanted to. And besides that, obviously, we had an ambulance and the whole crew on the beach, and everything was as good and professional as you could imagine. I was wearing a helmet as well. Some people were kind of jokingly saying, like, yeah, you think the helmet's going to save you? I think there's definitely a lot of circumstances and examples where the helmet actually would save me, but also we had the helmet for the communication. So, for people that are saying the helmets are not going to work, yeah, I agree. If you fly into the propeller of an airplane, you're probably right. The helmet's not going to save the life, but I think there's plenty of circumstances where wearing a helmet is a very safe and responsible mechanism to try and stay safe.
Were there any close calls during the planning or testing, or perhaps on the day itself?
Well, that's kind of the nice thing that we had in all the preparation towards the project, is that we had so much data and experience in doing this actual thing that I was 100% confident in doing the whole thing. And also if it wouldn't be windy enough, we would see Lucas' ground speed be too high, or we wouldn't see me jump high enough. And if I wouldn't jump high enough, then that's it. Red Bull's been very clear from the beginning that if we'd go do this and it would be some doubt or anybody wasn't feeling right or whatsoever, no pressure. We'll cancel the event. It's just a bunch of money basically that will be lost. But we've all been very clear to keep safety as the number one priority. And if anybody had any doubt, if it was Luke thinking that the wind was too turbulent or me thinking that the kickers weren't good or whatsoever, no hard feelings. So if there's anything, we were always very open in being able to say so and make it good for anybody. So were there any close calls during the planning, practice, and actual execution of the stunt? No, nothing really. No, we did everything as good as we could. We prepared everything as good as we could. We, I, yeah, no, 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 nothing really happened. No.
After achieving such a monumental feat, how do you reflect on this personally?
Besides the fact that I can say that I'm the first, kiter that has jumped over a plane. From my knowledge, there's been a motocrosser that jumped over an airplane once from side to side while the airplane was flying. So in that sense, I'd be the second one ever jumping over an airplane, and the first one also, I believe, going from the front to the back. So actually, yeah, crossing the line of the propeller. I don't know if that's good or bad, but it sounds kind of cool. But yeah, no, I feel very proud. I'm very happy we did it. I'm very happy on the team. I'm very happy with the coverage that we've gotten. There's a lot of people that with kiting that have jumped over other kiters, jumped over surfers, jumped over windsurfers, jumped over cars, boats. I've even jumped over whales a couple times too, which was really fun. But to say like with kiting I jumped over an airplane is definitely a very cool achievement. And besides that, what I also really like about the project is that for Luke, his side, for the aviation, they're all really stoked on how well he was able to fly against the wind so low above the ocean. So there's a really cool aspect for kiting to it, that I jumped over the airplane. Meanwhile, there's a really cool aspect for the aviation side, where a lot of the pilots are incredibly impressed by Lucas' flying abilities, and making this come together into this insane project is something I'm really proud of. And I hope also by doing so that, kitesurfing is an incredible sport and it's growing every year, and everybody absolutely loves the sport. But I think doing kind of projects like this, or just projects that are very like thinking outside the box are really cool and interesting to anybody watching the news, watching on Instagram, traveling around. You know, like it speaks to a wider audience, in my opinion, and that's something that I'd really like to show the world more about our beautiful sport and show people around what we can do and how fun it is. And I'm not calling for anybody else to go jump over a plane, but I'm trying to have people go try kiting, go out in the ocean, have fun, and try and jump or ride waves or do whatever you want to do, and just try and promote the sport, which I think is something I'm personally very proud of.
Nice. And what can we expect from you next? Have you got any ambitious projects in the pipeline? Are they top secret?
Yeah, well, besides riding in storm conditions and doing really extreme riding, I'd really like to focus on similar kind of projects, you know, to jump over an airplane. Yeah, what's going to be the next step? People come up to me, they're like, oh, what's next, a helicopter? Could be, you know, I'm not saying no, but I'm also saying that the helicopter has a much bigger propeller on top that causes much more turbulent air. So that's definitely not on my mind right now. So yeah, there's definitely really cool projects coming up. And one thing I'm actually currently focused on is being in touch with Sky on testing and riding with the new Rebel D-Lab. So very excited for that new kite, and it's going to be really cool.
And for everyone listening, can you tell us something about this project that you might not know from watching the video? Maybe something behind the scenes?
I really want to empathize on is that it's not a crazy, reckless stunt. Like, we really did a lot of testing, a lot of communication, a lot of protocols, a lot of thinking. We had, I think, over 50, maybe even 60, so 6-0 people on the beach. Working from our team, from the safety team to the divers, to the jet skis, to the filmers, to people from Red Bull that are very experienced doing these kind of wild Red Bull projects, you know, that have never been done before. So it's not something that we just did on one day to the other. Like, we really thought that out. And that's not just for this project, you know, that counts for everything. So if somebody thinks, oh, it's super dangerous, why'd you do that? Like, I'll say yes. You're right, you know, it is dangerous, but at the same time, it's not, yeah, we don't see it as a stunt. We saw it as a very calculated and well planned out jump that also went exactly as we planned it, from the whole start to finish, from everything. You know, we had drones in the air, we had an airplane in the air, we had cameras on the beach, so we had this whole flight pattern that everybody had to follow in order to get the shots and not have the plane hidden to the drones or everything had its spot and knew what to do. So it was very, yeah. Hence, I'm proud of it again. It was very well thought out, and it went exactly real.
Well, thanks, Lasse, for sharing with us this incredible insight to a very special jump, a world first. Is there anybody you'd like to give a shout out to or to thank in particular?
You know, I'd really like to thank Red Bull for this opportunity. They say Red Bull gives you wings, and it's not just linked to the wings you get from the energy drink to get more energy, but they also say giving wings to people and ideas. And this is one of the crazy ideas that we had, and they fully supported us from start to finish to realize this and show kiteboarding and everything that we did to a wider audience, and have as many people be amazed by this incredible project as we can be. Besides that, I'm extremely happy on the gear I'm riding. You know, I wouldn't want to do it on anything else. I'd been riding the Evo D-Lab, which was a really nice kite, but now with the Rebel D-Lab, it was not gonna say it was easy, but it made it so much easier to have this amazing lineup of incredible kites that I could basically choose from that are the best performing in the whole industry. And I just feel so confident on the gear setup. So from that on, also Duotone's been supporting me and helping me ride the best gear for many years already. So definitely without Duotone and especially Sky designing the Rebel D-Lab, who knows, it wouldn't have been as successful as it is today. So I definitely want to thank you guys at Duotone for doing the amazing job of creating all these insanely good working kites. And I want to thank Luke because he's such an amazing pilot. And yeah, there's too many people to thank. You know, I'd like to thank my wife and my daughter, my parents for always helping me kite. And I could go off a whole list of friends and family that have supported me from the start. So yeah, much love to everybody. I'd like to thank the friends that I did tell this project to, that they kept it a secret. And very excited for the next thing. So
thanks very much, Lasse. See you on the water.